Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That may be the most famous prayer in all of Christendom. It is found in the book of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. It is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, and in some schools, the Disciples' Prayer. And that is because Luke records it in response to one of the disciples asking Jesus how to pray. He answered, "Pray in this way," and then gave that prayer. It was not intended to be something recited word for word as a ritual. It was not meant to be a plaque hung on a wall. It was an outline or a model to follow in our regular prayer life. Luke's gospel follows the prayer with a parable. And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, because a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to serve him.' And from inside he answers and says, 'Don't bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even if he would not get up and give him anything just because he is his friend, yet because of his shamelessness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Now, this is the only occurrence of this word, shamelessness, in the entire Bible. The King James uses the word importunity, which few people understand, including those who are loyal to King James. The best way to understand this word is to think about the following statement: "We've been trying to contact you about your car's extended warranty." Get the picture? Relentless, annoying. That is the type of persistence and fearlessness this neighbor demonstrates. Jesus is telling us to have that attitude when we pray. Hebrews 4:16 encourages us to approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We should enter prayer with boldness and shamelessness. Why? Jesus goes on to explain, "I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Now which one of you fathers, if his son asks for a fish, instead of a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, his father will give him a scorpion? And when he asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him?" Compared to our Heavenly Father, our best falls painfully short. A fish, an egg, and bread are all reasonable requests. A stone is worthless. A scorpion is painful. A snake is dangerous. Nothing of that sort will come from our Heavenly Father. God always has our best interest in His heart. We ask for things we need. We seek for wisdom and direction. We knock on the door leading into His presence. Hebrews 9 says, "We have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus." 1 John 3:21 and 22 say, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him." And 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from Him." What robs us of confidence before God is an unclean conscience. Hebrews 10 says, "Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us approach God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience." 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That, by the way, is how you put on the breastplate of righteousness, which protects your heart. If your heart is right before God, you can ask anything. In Luke 18, He was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not become discouraged, saying, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect any person. Now there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me justice against my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect any person, because this widow is bothering me, I will give her justice. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.'" Now remember, a parable is a figurative story with a literal understanding. God is not unjust, nor could we ever wear Him out. The point is that she did not get discouraged. She never gave up. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed Jesus, and two people who were blind, sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." But the crowd sternly warned them to be quiet. Yet they cried out all the more, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to Him, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed Him. I love these two. They didn't care what people thought. They would not be silenced. They would not quit. They had importunity. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead had become worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind Him and touched His cloak. For she had been saying to herself, "If I just touch His garments, I will get well." And immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in Himself that power from Him had gone out, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And His disciples said to Him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be cured of your disease." She was spent, nothing left, no hope, only to touch the hem of His garment. When we have nothing left and we reach out to Jesus, He is there, and He knows we are here. When Job was pleading his case before God, he said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Now back to the parable. The Lord said, Listen to what the unrighteous judge said. Now will God not bring about justice for his elect, who cry out to him day and night, and will he delay long for them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now Jesus ties this lesson into a warning about his return. In Matthew 24, he said, "If those days had not been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. But the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved." With everything going on in the world today, it's easy to give up hope. It's easy to think that our days are short. All the more reason to pray and not faint. Hebrews 12 exhorts us, "Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Other than giving up too soon, what are some hindrances to prayer? James 4 says, "You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend what you request on your pleasures." The first and most obvious problem is that we just don't ask. Why? Well, one reason is guilt. We dealt with that earlier. Another reason is unbelief. James says, "We must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." That person should not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, there was quite a scene. A man brought his son to the disciples, but they could not deliver him. And the man said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." But Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." And after crying out and throwing him into a terrible seizure, it came out. And the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up, and the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of your lack of faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." That father prayed one of the most honest prayers ever. "I do believe, help my unbelief." A mustard seed is very, very tiny. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said, "God is not looking for men of great faith. He is looking for common men to trust his great faithfulness." The other problem James cites is wrong motives. God is under no obligation to make you rich. This prosperity gospel is nothing more than the church's version of entitlement. In his song, "When You Gonna Wake Up," Bob Dylan sings, "Do you ever wonder just what God requires? You think he's just an errand boy to satisfy your wandering desires." Another wrong motive is seeking the approval of men. Jesus said, "When you pray, You are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they will be seen by people. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But as for you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Another hindrance is not knowing what to pray for. Romans 8:26 says, "The Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." When you pray, ask the Holy Spirit for help. And what is God's will? 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." So now let's go back and take another look at this model prayer that Jesus gave, a line at a time. "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Season all of your prayer with praise and adoration for the Father. "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Always submit to His authority. "Give us this day our daily bread." Focus on the need at hand. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." This is the only line of that prayer that Jesus comments on, saying, "If you forgive others for their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God doesn't tempt us, but the evil one does. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Not every translation adds this line, but it is theologically sound. I close with this admonition from Philippians. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Amen.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.